Hey Jim, good to see you here. And David, hello. Austin is here.
Hey
Hey,
guys.
so sorry, Austin and I were sitting around in another meeting room wondering where everybody was, and we clicked on the wrong link. So we apologize for the delay. We didn't forget. We were just sitting around 3 minutes past the hour. I knew something was wrong. All right. So let's see. We got David, Jim, Margaret, Patricia. Good stuff. Hey, let's start while we wait for the others. Here's what I'd like to do real quick. Just a couple of minutes. Would love for everyone to go into the chat and just type in a win. And when I say win, it could be anything big or small related to this work. The fact that, I don't know, you're going through the material and you're staying on track, you're doing the exercises, you've had a breakthrough, you had an idea, you started putting together a juicy offer. Anything along those lines, we want to acknowledge the fact that you're moving through this, you're thinking through it, you're acting on it. I think it's worth celebrating. So just let us know where are you right now, and what do you feel good about? Well, look at Austin. He just went ahead and just put his win. I like it. Pitched a light advisory subscription to a client today. I like it.
He kept on
Patricia.
asking me for advice, and I'm like, you know what? Like, I know that you're acting on my advice. I need to start. I'm already doing a writing project for him, and I'm like, he asked me about a job description for like a content producer he wants to hire for his agency. I'm like, you know what? There's a word for this. It's advisory. You need to pay for it, Robert.
There you go. Did you call it advisory?
I
Or
did.
did you call?
And
Okay, perfect.
he does a lot of consulting work too, so he gets it. He's also smart, and he's like, well, if Austin's going to keep on answering my questions for free, I guess I should let him, you know.
There you go. Good. All right. Patricia says, I'm going through the material, put together an offer, and sending it to some colleagues. Totally stole Austin's template. There you go. That's why it's there. Good for you, Patricia. Margaret says, worked on Juicy Offer last week, attended Austin's webinar yesterday. Awesome. Look at you. David, starting to feel that new consultant mindset. I like the sound of that. Perhaps some different types of questions for an initial client meeting tomorrow. Hope to move from straight order taker to strategy during the talk. Fantastic. Patricia says, I'm in the airport, so sorry about the background. Oh, it's all right. We like that background. I thought it was a new Zoom,
Like it's very fancy.
faux background. I was trying to figure out how you were able to move and, get like a 360. Good stuff. Well, let's get to work, guys. And you know the drill. If you have a question, you want to run something by us, you want to brainstorm, talk through something, just put in type in a capital Q, and then just give us a one sentence description, or give us an idea of what you want to talk about. We'll use the chat as literally the Q, the line of questions, and we'll go through them one by one. Okay. So just let us know. That's the most efficient way we've found. Put it in the chat. We'll get to you. We'll unmute you. We can have a conversation. Okay.
Patricia said something interesting. I realized I have sold some strategy, but never thought about it as a standalone before. Keep this in the back of your head today. I'd actually love to hear if you're bumping into any mental blockers. If there's, it's wonderful to have wins, but I think as we stretch, that can be kind of painful or uncomfortable. So I'm happy to talk about that side of things too. Like, this is a paradigm shift. So if you're really struggling with that paradigm shift, be transparent about that too, right? I felt like the biggest fraud probably for the first year and a half of selling this, because I'm like, I'm just giving them ideas. But anyway, So keep that at the back of your head. We can talk about that kind of mindset stuff too. Let's see, Robin. Notice the company looking for a strategist on LinkedIn, not through the jobs. We'll be reaching out to them today. We may talk about that. I think that may be lesson or session five, but there, these opportunities are hiding in plain view. I mentioned that a client of mine, he's recalibrating his digital agency, and I'm like, he's asking questions. So I'm going to pitch him on an offer essentially. So yeah, whether it's on LinkedIn or Twitter or in some community you're a part of, or you're talking to a friend over coffee and they're like, you know, I'm just really struggling to put together a plan, whatever it is, as you begin to go through the paradigm shift, you'll notice these, there are opportunities for this everywhere. Jim, I'm building my new website. I'm thinking about services and offerings in my wheelhouse to start, white papers. I know Ed can talk about what a strategy session for a white paper might look like. And then also with case studies, I've sold case studies. I sold three of them last year for $3,000, which isn't even at the top of the market. I'll go ahead and drop in. We didn't talk about Case Study Buddy last week, did we?
I don't think we did. But he's, well, a great example.
Yeah, Joel Kletke is a great example of a guy who took a commoditized writing product like case studies and was like, you know what? I'll put the link straight to his pricing page. If you add a little bit of strategy on the front end, you increase the perceived value of the outcome, and then you're charging $5,000 to $15,000 for something that I remember. I'm like, man, I'd love to get paid $500 for a case study. You know, okay. Patricia, I have an offer. I'd love for you to review. How do I do that? That's my question too. Do you post your offers on LinkedIn? So what did you say? Those are two questions. Yeah, no, that's fine. Let's start with the first one. How do we workshop your offer? If you've got the link, can you drop the link in the chat? And then, assuming it's not too loud for you, maybe you just unmute yourself and we can talk about it. While you're looking for that, I'll move down to David. You suggested building a different website for consulting services as an approach. Have you ever seen it done well where a writer built out on their existing website branding? I would say dedicated pages for strategy offers, but it doesn't have to be an entirely new website, right? So I think you can 100% sort of, you know, sneak these underneath your existing business name or brand, but it's one of those things that clients can't get excited about it if they don't know it exists, right? And one of the first things that I recommend all of you do is, whether it's in your LinkedIn title or wherever on your website, like, add this. And again, it doesn't have to be the word strategist. It could be like content strategist. It could be content planner. It could be white paper specialist for Jim. Like, if you want to have a bigger role, start adding that extra element or dimension to your title. It could just be consultant. Right? What do consultants do a lot? They shape strategy. So you could be a writer and a consultant, a writer and a strategist, right? A writer and a white paper specialist, that kind of thing. And then as you expand your title, it makes total sense to have a dedicated page or landing page on your website for that offer, right? Now, I think I get into this a little bit later. I'll go ahead and drop this into the chat though. And once you have those strategy offers, you can create sales materials just for that offer, right? So I dropped in my 1-day brand sprints deck presentation PDF So when this comes up and I think there's a client who has need of this, I'll just attach this to an email and say, hey, check this out. This is the direction I recommend we go, right? So title, think about how you might want to add to your title if you're going to start positioning yourself as a writer and a fill in the blank, right? Website. Hey, the work that you do on creating a juicy offer for whatever like form of strategy you want to do, all that writing, that can go on your website with very little changes, right? And then you can just remix it and put it into like a keynote, Google Slides, PowerPoint presentation fairly easily. And that's one of the reasons Ed and I actually want you all to write out new offers over the next 6 weeks is great. You even have your marketing messaging kind of ready to go, right?
Hey, Austin, I got a couple of examples I can show real quickly on a website. Sweet. So let me share my screen. So Linda Maloney is a conversion copywriter. And so what she did, she put it under her services tab. So notice when the dropdown, she's got, like, I could go to her services page and, she's got productized services here, including a messaging strategy roadmap.
Love it.
Okay. And by the way, her website, you could see the copy works with an X at the end, copyworks.com. But then I can also go, let's go to the messaging strategy roadmap. So she's got a page for this. And, you know, she sets the stage. She talks about what it is, the value you get, what you can expect from it. And then the price. And notice, because this is, you got to also think about what your sales process is going to be like, right? With many of these services, they're not going to be, people aren't going to buy them off the shelf with a credit card in many cases. Some they will, but in this case, you know, we figured that, yeah, she's going to need to schedule a call. So that's the call to action, schedule a call. The other one I wanted to show you was my coaching client, Jessica Coleman, Lamplighter Agency. And she also has them under services. And if you click on services, so she's got what many of us do, right? Kind of the laundry list, authority building and customer nurturing. So I like how she grouped this. Sales copy, content repurposing. Here we go. Now strategy, content amplifier workshop, and idea generator content workshop. Okay. Now with these things, guys, you know, obviously don't copy these things, you know, use them as inspiration. You know, don't copy the names, don't copy everything exactly, right? These are other people who are trying to do this, but I wanted to show you some inspiration. And then when you click on tell me more to the content amplifier workshop, she's got basically the juicy offer copy here. And if you look at your checklist, you'll see that she's basically hit every point, everything from what's the challenge, what's the outcome-based promise, what's the value, what's the process, the fee, proof, credibility. She even chose just for some of the proof, just show mm-hmm. some research, right? Some stats. So anyway, yeah, the point is you don't have to create a separate website. These are how a couple of people have done it. They've embedded it into their services website page, and then they have actual separate pages for each of these so they can describe it, the full offer.
This is going to be more advanced. This may be like 2 or 3 years from now, but let's say you have one of these offers that really takes off. And let's say that you're particularly good at delivering that offer to a very specific sort of client. Like, oh, I help garage door installers with their content road mapping. That may be when you want to spin up a whole separate brand, right? But right now, I wouldn't worry so much about anything that's going to distract you from finishing an offer and putting it out into the world. And getting paid to do this, building your confidence, and ultimately seeing ROI on this program you invested in, right? So like branding are y'all familiar with the term bike shedding? Think about it as meta work that seems like progress, but it's actually a distraction from the real work, right? If I were you all, I'm like, finish your strategy offer and go and email every single one of your past clients and say, by the way, I'm rolling out a new offer. I wanted you to be one of the first ones to know about it, right? That is how you can see ROI on this course sooner rather than later. But bike shedding is a fun sort of rabbit trail to go on, you know, on a, like a Sunday morning, right? Not right now. Okay. So I think we covered David's question. And then Patricia put her offer in. And so, Ed, is it cool if I just open this Google Doc and then maybe just screen share it?
Yeah, perfect.
All right. So we'll do that. And we can all appreciate how nervous Patricia is feeling right now before we actually absolutely tear apart her offer. Just there's going to be nothing but bloody chunks left when we're finished with this. Just kidding. Okay. I love this right out of the gate. What the heck is road mapping? Because that's going to be a question in their minds, right? So, and I love this, you know, you sort of legitimize it. Like this is a thing. Okay. What the heck is road mapping? I'm so glad you asked. I love the way Patricia is bringing in her personality here, right? Okay, we spend 90 minutes answering a series of questions, peeling the layers off the onion, so to speak, to help you gain clarity, set direction, and identify the next steps. Maybe your marketing isn't working and you feel stuck. You need to better understand. Let's see. I think this would be whom you serve if we're going to get really picky about relative pronouns. I feel so good that I can pull that out of the archives. Relative pronoun. You're not sure how to... Okay, let's see. Yeah, I like conversational language. I think when we as writers feel insecure about what we're offering, we tend to dress things up in fancy-sounding language instead of being plain-spoken and talking about it the way we would over coffee. So, Patricia, I think the plain spoken language here, the more conversational English is the right way to go. You know, we can troubleshoot problems. Yes. So I think all this is good. Can you say a little bit more about what you mean by have you done this before? You're imagining that they're asking you this question. I don't think I would change the way you phrase that and say something along the lines of like, here's how other clients, my other clients in the past, have relied on me for this type of work. Right. Again, you know that this is new territory for you. They don't have to know that. And so this is like almost seems like a little bit defensive before they've even like said anything that should make you defensive. You know, here's how clients have relied on me for this type of engagement in the past, right? And here's the thing. If you all have done something similar to this in the past, it doesn't matter whether or not you got paid for it. It doesn't matter whether or not it was a standalone engagement. You've already done it. If you helped a friend for free on a Saturday while eating barbecue, talk through some content ideas, then you've already done content idea brainstorming, right? So you can think back if you need sort of proof or examples or anecdotes, you can think back when you have done this sort of thing and include those examples in your offer, right? I don't know why we think that money has to have changed hands for the value we created to be like legitimate. I would just say no, right? If, you know, whatever examples that of how you've done this in the past, roll with those, okay? All right, then let me hustle through this. Business coach, awesome. Brand voice guide, right? Designing a marketing strategy for a general contractor, great. You know, financial planner. Yes. I would, rather than a simple examination, maybe be a little bit more detailed, right? I went through her website page by page, and I gave her feedback on meaningful improvements that she could make, right? So like, this is, yes, here, be more conversational, but here, be a little bit more detailed in how you actually created value by bringing fresh ideas to them. I like this. Why do I ask all clients to do this? I like your choice of the word invest. And then how much does it cost? What happens next? Okay, so a couple of ways to improve this, right? One, how are you quantifying the value? Like, what are the benefits to them, right? It's probably going to be clarity. It's going to be an actionable plan. It's going to be access to your incredible mind for 90 minutes. They're going to be able to use you as a sounding board to test the quality or the feasibility of the ideas they already have, right? And you get into that a little bit here, but you might want to like break out a new section, like, why is this so valuable? And that's where you speak directly to the value, right? And then you might bring in a little bit more proof. It could be a testimonial. It doesn't even have to be about road mapping. The testimonial could be like from a client who's like, oh, I just love the way Patricia thinks. Working with her is always delightful. So you can use a non-strategy testimonial here, right? And then, let's see, it was, who's the Lamplighter client? Ed, what's her name?
Oh, that I was on mute. Jessica Coleman.
So if you recall from the Jessica Coleman example, she was using like industry stats and a few quotes to kind of substantiate this idea or back up this idea that, hey, like content marketing is valuable. Content marketing works, right? So it might help if you're able to come in like for example, like with a one-day brand sprint. If I were to talk, like find some sort of authority in the public sphere who's talking about how a distinctive brand is an absolute must for SaaS startups or e-commerce companies today, that's going to like kind of back up my claim that a one-day brand sprint is valuable. So it might help you to go back to the Juicy Offers worksheet, look at the different types of proof at the bottom, and then just pull in some other types of proof, right? Like, for example, when I sell like marketing strategy, I might just bring in like a quote that talks about how ultimately marketing is what separates the winners from the losers. That kind of thing, right? So it could be a quote from a famous author. It could be a quote from, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt or Abe Lincoln or whatever, but like just enrich this by bringing in some other proof, some other sources, that sort of thing, right? And then one last thing, I know road mapping is still pretty new, but one place where I have found really good language for how to express the value is when I go to my closest competitors' testimonials and see what their clients said about the experience, right? I know that's kind of funny, but like if I sell a one-day brand sprint, why wouldn't I go to like other people who sell brand strategy and see what their clients have to say? You know, so if their clients say, I was finally able to get clear on my brand and that was so exciting. Well, that's just like an outcome of that type of strategy work. So why wouldn't I just sort of grab that insight and put it into my offer? Okay. I think we have given you some stuff to take action with there, Patricia. Where would you put proof? Treat it as a proof parfait. I would just layer it throughout. Mm-hmm. It doesn't all have to be at the end. You know, I would just find ways to put it throughout. But all in all, I think you did a fantastic job with this first draft. And you must have started with a really great template. I have a client who increased registrants by 210% because of emails I wrote for them. Great. Like that sort of thing, right? Just showing your professionalism, your expertise, your results, you know? David thinks you did a good job too. So thank you, David. Okay. Bring me some other questions. I know we have, I can riff on Patricia's second question while we're waiting. Do you put your offers on LinkedIn? The answer is sometimes. Would you all like to see offers, not just from me, but from other people? Because I actually collect them. That proves just how weird I am, that I have a easy to access collection of offers. Okay. Let me head over to that. I actually think it's really helpful to see how different people actually do this on social. So let me share this and I'll just walk you through some of these, although it may not actually, you can't see that. Let me try this. Y'all can't see this from Bavini, can you? Okay. I'll just have to do it one at a time. Sorry. Okay. So this is the first one from Bavini. I think she's awesome. She's a designer based in London. Okay. But so you can see just how casual and fun and sort of lighthearted this is. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I do love the first line. It's taken me way too long to share this, but here it goes, blah, 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 right? Now, what's the actual offer? Well, it comes at the very end. If you're thinking about making some changes to your business branding, let's have a chat and see if we can figure out what needs to change. That's super low pressure. It's not super pitchy. She's like, let's chat, right? And whether it's time for a small refresh or a complete overhaul of your brand identity, either way, I've got three great packages for you to choose from. You can see this on my website and I'll add a link in the comments, right? So she's talking about a project that she just came off of with a guy named Tom. Tom walked away with a set of logos, colors, and fonts, you know, like, okay, cool, right? There's nothing about this that comes across as like, oh, gross. Bavini is being like super self-promotional or whatever. It's like this actually comes across as really winsome and likable. And there's someone in her audience who actually needs this, right? So part of the mindset shift when we sell on social is to remember someone out there really needs my help. And if I don't make myself the easy, obvious choice, they're just not going to pick me. All right. Now, let me show you.
I love that story-based approach, too. It's very engaging.
It does.
And that lead, it's like, okay, I'm in. Took you way too long. All right, now I got to hear the rest.
So here's another one. Let me, again, do the share again. This one is so short that it's like funny. So I guess she works with a lot of cannabis brands. One thing your cannabis brand can do to stand out and get media coverage for years to come, reports. That's it. That's the post. So she's funny. Let me know if you want to write a report. We can do it together. I actually did a much deeper analysis of this offer. She had either three or four people raise their hands in the comments saying, please contact me. Have you also, have you noticed that if you raise your hand in Zoom now, it automatically puts the hand emoji? I wonder if it'll take it. If you have to hold it up for like five seconds. Really? Or maybe it's just me. Anyway, I have special Zoom features that the rest of you don't have access to. But anyway, like this is only like what? Like 40 or 50 characters long? It's super short and it worked. Right. So let me show you another example. This one's even more interesting. Emmy Faust. And I just love that she talks about how hard it is to actually ask for what you want. Last week, I found the courage to finally ask for what I want here on LinkedIn, and I was blown away. Right. So this is a little bit meta because she's talking about asking for what she wants and then reflecting back on that later, you know, but boldness pays off sometimes. Hey, it's not always hard for me to talk about the work that I do on social, but here goes, you know, my name's Patricia and I help clients do X, Y, and Z. You know, some of the outcomes have been this. So if you really need a thought partner to come alongside you and help you get clarity around a big project, like that can be so winsome. It doesn't have to be really irritating. All right, two more, and then we'll be done with this delightful segment of today's programming. All right. This is Zach Robinson. You know, and again, some of you all are not going to want to write the way Zach writes. You know, like it's like breezy, maybe a little bit cocky. That's fine. You don't have to write like this. I just want to show you like this is what people do and it helps to stand out this way, right? Where are all the marketing agency founders? Where are all the business and leadership coaches? Pull up a chair, right? Here's what happens if you hire me to write the copy for your website. All he's doing is setting up a new testimonial he got. Want in? DMs are open. Let's make what you say online a lot less shit. Like, again, I would never write that. I don't use profanity in any of my public-facing marketing, right? That's just a stylistic choice that I made. And it's probably this polite Southerner in me who knows that I will get an email from my dad if I cuss online, right? And I'm not joking. Like, my dad would email me. I'm like, Dad, we're always going to disagree. I don't think profanity is a big deal, but whatever. Anyway, but he's very British when you look at his writing and he lets that come through. And I think that's lovely, right? So you think, how do I want my personality to come through when I put these offers out? Last one, this one is actually from Twitter. This is my friend, Matt Raglan. Okay. So in his case, he's actually helping course creators with their planning. So I really like how niche his is. Caitlin's for the cannabis industry, clearly niche. Matt is like, hey, you have a course idea. You're stuck on the technical setup. You don't have a plan. Well, I can help. Let's review the ideas and elements. You create it. I'll update it. Let's launch the course, right? Like, then it's really interesting because he's like, hey, if you don't make $1,000 in 100 days after launch, I'll refund all your money. So he has a pretty interesting guarantee as well. Anyway, if you all want, I can share the link to these offers. And let's see. And I'll just
while you're doing that, I'm going to throw another one in the ring. So one that I've used very effectively, and many of you guys have gotten these from me before over email, but they're very effective also on LinkedIn, is the what I call the SPEAR approach. SPEAR stands for short, personalized, and expecting a reply. So it's basically a version of I'm about to work with I have room for two clients who have this problem and want to achieve this objective. This is
basically how we'll work together, like this last example, right? Really short, like 2-3 lines. If you'd like to learn more, or if this sounds interesting, or if you'd like to work with me, reply below or DM me, you know, something along those lines. But the approach here is you've left out a lot of the detail. In fact, that you want to do that, unlike this last example. That's why I wanted to offer it as a contrasting idea. And what works there is that you've built tension into the message, because the only specifics are 2 spots, people who have this problem and want to get to this solution, 3 quick points about how this will look like or how it will work. And then, you know, would you like to work with me? A question. And there's not enough there. So anyone who resonates with the copier is going to go, I want to know more. Can you send me some details? That's what you want. I think with any of these, and most of the examples really spoke to this, is you really want to spark dialogue. Okay. You don't necessarily want to sell the opportunity there. You don't want to send somebody to your page and have them buy it there. What you want is some sort of reply that says, tell me more. And if you can do that, then you can kickstart a sales process. And then that's in most cases what you're going to want to do. So just wanted to throw another approach in the ring.
Something Patricia asked, like, hey, or just said, you've gotten crickets when you're posting online. I should add that the people that I mentioned are very active on their respective social channels. So if you're only posting, I don't know with what frequency you post, but I do know that if you're posting almost daily and then once every 2 or 3 weeks, you drop an offer, you're much more likely to get some action around that because you've been providing value in all of these other posts, right? And it's also like the way that you frame the offer is different too, right? Like when you think about like, hey, you could approach it like this. Hey, I just wrapped up a new strategy project with a client. Here are 3 big takeaways. Oh, and then at the bottom, oh, by the way, here's what that engagement looked like. If you want to get clarity around your marketing plan or your whatever, right? Very, very specific offers after you tell a story about a project that you did, that's going to be a lot more effective than like, hey, does anybody out there want to hire me? And again, I'm not trying to beat you up, Patricia. I haven't seen any of your posts. It's just more like, what? I know. My children expect to see their dad every once in a while. I'd prefer to read your posts on LinkedIn, but have to play with my children. I do think it can be effective, but it's trial and error like anything else. There's this weird correlation I've found between like the more fun I have writing posts, the better they seem to do. And that's true even of offers where it's like, hey, you know, I have 1 spot in my calendar, you know, and, you know, these don't come up very often. Would love to work with someone cool. If you need help getting clarity around your marketing plan, you know, reach out to me. I'll be on LinkedIn for the next hour. Something like that. I mean, just doesn't sound needy, you know. Anyways, but I'd definitely default to storytelling as the better way rather than like bullet points. If you are emailing past clients, Ed's spear example is killer. Like it's really good. And I know you personally, Ed, have been very successful with that, right?
Yeah, so, but you could turn it into a LinkedIn post to answer Patricia's question. That could be a, you know, same copy and then same question at the end. Would you like to work with me on this? But then you have to answer it, which you don't have to do in an email. In an email, you leave it at that. You sign it, Patricia. But in a LinkedIn post, If you then DM me, you have to let them know.
And I will say, like, I have been amazed at how many people who don't comment will send a DM. Depending on the type of LinkedIn account you have, people can't DM you if they aren't already connected to you. So keep in mind that if you ask people to DM and they're second or third degree connections, they can't actually DM you unless they upgrade their accounts. So you may also want to say, or, you know, email me here and just put in your email address. Right. So there are some very tactical things that can get in your way. Someone is interested, but they can't DM you and you did not offer an alternative way to get in touch. And now they're just on to the next thing because there was too much friction there. So just keep those little nuances in mind. Right. Yeah. Okay. What else have we got? I need questions, people. I'm going to start. Margaret, I'm going to start bossing. I better see some inbound questions.
I don't really have questions because I actually haven't launched my business. So I've already gotten a lot of value because when I was setting up my website, and then when I signed up for the class and you were talking about the offer and actually being able to create, like, and I went to your webinar yesterday, is I want to be able to offer the transformation, right? And that I can bring my whole self to help someone. So now when I'm thinking about the business, then it's like, okay, here's the part that I can help you with, which is, and it was funny because in my current copy on my website, I already have clarity in my copy. So what I'm learning a lot are the making sure that I do have a clear offer, how I can walk through someone through this one part of the process, and then how I have these, like, everything is just like an offer, not just like, oh, by the way, here's a laundry list. So for me, it's being able to really see that, okay, this is the business that I'm setting up, that how I can help someone, and that I have that I think for me, that because I haven't done the implementation in person, I don't know how it's going to work out, right? From like a discovery call to talking to them about a session. So right now it's all theory, but it's still like being able to understand that my business could be set up this way rather than how it was like, I'm just going to list all the things I can write rather than how can I help? What transformation, what outcome can I help this person arrive at? And so that's now how I'm changing the way that I approach. And actually, like, I start with myself in the morning. Like I do Julia Cameron's morning pages. So I dump all my crap so that by the time that I meet someone, then I get to lend them my brain. So it's more fun.
So you brought up something that I thought was really good, which is like, you have your generic laundry list of services here. You have an offer over here. And I maybe even go into this in one of the sessions. Like, food preparation as a service, romantic dinner for two on the beach is an offer. And so many freelancers are like, hey, I'm a freelance writer. And it kind of stops there in terms of like, okay, and what else do you have for me? Well, writing. I'm a freelance writer. Where the freelancers in all disciplines that I see really thriving are the ones like Joel Kletke, who's like, oh, I'm going to pick case studies, which is just a form of writing. And lots of freelance writers can write a case study. I mean, what's the big deal? You find a template, you know, problem, right? Solution, journey. Like, but he went really deep and was like, what are the specific pain points? What's the outcome? What is that story of transformation? Right. And so, don't just sell people blog posts. right? Like, sell them their best ideas communicated effectively in a way that make people want to get in touch with them, right? Like, that's what a, you know, don't sell a screwdriver. Or what is it? Don't sell a drill, sell a hole in the wall. Like, always focus on the outcome. Anyway, all right, David. Thank you, by the way, Margaret. I wasn't even intending to put you on the spot, but you rose to the challenge. Okay. Any ideas for finding a niche and leads for these services beyond contacting past and existing clients? I'm still wondering if my current client base is too established to need strategy and if I should focus on smaller companies. Great question. Yeah, you may want to find a different niche, right? When you think about who kind of needs strategy and thought partnership, it probably is smaller companies, and it's often smaller companies where it's still small enough that there's a founder or a pretty like a skeleton crew. And a lot of my best strategy clients have actually been owners and founders who don't have enough people to talk to about this or that, right? And marketing directors who don't want to go bother their CEO, but actually need help coming up with ideas. And it's funny that there are lots of marketing professionals out there who are so busy with implementation work that they need to pay someone else to help them slow down long enough to be a little bit more strategic in some of the things that they're doing. So it's kind of a weird thing where you're like, I bet you could do some of this, but you're just not going to unless you pay me to help you keep an appointment. I'm like, you're paying me to help you keep an appointment with yourself in your own calendar, ironically. All right. And then Ed.
Well, okay. I just wanted to, I actually have a, not a dissenting point of view, but kind of a different
I
layer.
I knew Ed
to
was
it.
Gonna call me out. I know. I'm
sorry. Well, because here's the thing. I think the assumption you're making, David, is that these are the entry points you're focused on.
Yeah.
Right. And these are the ones that we just spoke about. Sure. I think you have an opportunity on this side. You know, the solution aware client, but with those clients, it's going to happen more organically. You're not going to present an offer and they're going to go, David, I want to hear more about that. It's going to be more like, David, we need X and we need Y. Can you help us with this? And then you start asking questions and then you hear what they're saying. And then you confirm and they said, yes. It's like, well, have you thought about this? Or what about this other thing? And you get into a discussion, not with an agenda other than to uncover.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point you may find an opportunity to help them. And you don't call it strategy like Austin has suggested, especially with a bigger client. You call it a workshop or a plan, you know, something along those lines. And I think you're going to find opportunities in your current one. But it's not going to happen, you know, kind of in this Hollywood romantic, you know, comedy type of thing.
I'm seeing you, David, for the very first time as a strategist.
David.
But there's one other thing there, right? Which is like, I have clients now who did not look to me for this at first. And one of the things that you have to do is become that person who starts asking really good questions, meaning you may need to retrain your clients until they're like, oh, wow, there's this whole side of David I didn't know existed, you know, and maybe in a way you do it for free, not for free at first, like in terms of like, hey, let me do a strategy session with you. But like they give you a new writing project and you're like, great, I'm super excited about this. Could we hop on a 15-minute call and you help me fill out my creative brief? And they're like, oh yeah, sure. And then the creative brief comes up with like, you sprinkle in questions like, how does this fit into content that you're that our closest competitors have already created on this subject? And they're like, oh. And then you're like, okay, what is the hook here? Do we have any other pieces of content on the subject that we could strategically cross-link to or just repurpose? You know, does this topic come from metrics? Like, have we already created similar content like this in the past that was very well received, got a lot of hits, got a lot of traffic, got a lot of engagement, whatever? So through questions and through impromptu strategy sessions, you may need to retrain clients to be more strategic themselves about some of these projects they're assigning to you. Do that once or twice. Like, I have friends now who hire me for road mapping because they're like, Austin's the guy I need to go to when I want help organizing my thoughts. And honestly, separating good ideas from bad ones. And that's awesome. Like, people I would hang out with anyway who want to pay me just to like be a thought partner for an hour or two. So,
One other thing. This just happened in a recall with a client right before this one. So she presented a content ideation workshop because she knew they needed it. This is a bigger company in life sciences. They said no, and they just went for the, can you help us with these projects instead? So she said, okay. Well, guess what? Within a couple of weeks into it, they start asking, well, you know, what do you think of this? And they start asking questions basically to get her advice. And she was good. She pivoted and said, I'd be happy to help you with that through a, you know, whatever her, her workshop is. So sometimes, and I don't know where this is going to go, but I suspect that the client is going to recognize that what they said no to, they actually need. So that's yet another opportunity. I'm not saying you're going to go, well, you should have taken this, you know, and you didn't, so forget you. No, but you start kind of gently, you know, one thing we could do is this, and then we can go deeper into that, Jim. Anyway.
That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome. There's all sorts of opportunities to sell strategy. It's just a matter of recognizing them, having the guts to point it out. You know, it's recognizing, hey, my client needs a little bit of retraining before they're ready for this.
We got 3 minutes, Austin. I just wanted to let you know we got Patricia with a question here as well. So we can
Patricia
wrap up
with, a question. Yeah, let's wrap up with that one. How do you walk the line? Is your role to ask these questions and or does it damage the relationship with the marketing company? Now, I get what you're saying. When you have a referral, first of all, make sure the marketing company knows that you want to do this, because they may be able to sell this on your behalf, right? I've had companies that were strategic partners that sold my strategy engagements for me, right? But it always is kind of awkward when the relationship is mediated by someone else and you're being asked to potentially, you know, just take an order or execute a project when you feel like parts of it are still pretty ill-defined. So I don't have great advice there, except if there are certain things that you believe you need in order to do a really good job, then ask for them, right? And then if you kind of get crickets, then insinuate yourself and be like, hey, I really do think the outcome will be better if we do X, Y, and Z. Can we do X, Y, and Z? Like, but ultimately, yeah, I've just not had as much success selling through agencies as owning those client relationships directly myself. Yeah, and you just kind of answered that. That's like, agencies are wanting to make money off of what you charge them. They're probably charging their clients more. I get that. That's their model. But if there are a lot of marketing agencies that aren't truly strategic, So they wouldn't even know where this fit into their mix. But anyway, sorry, I don't have great advice there, except, yeah, go get more of your own clients, right?
I just had a quick question. I don't know if we'll answer it here, maybe next time, but I was working with an agency that built itself as an SEO agency. And through a BNI contact, I heard that, oh, we have trouble having people create content all the time. And so I did an engagement for them, and I was able to sell them on a buyer's guide for a cannabis dispensary, and went through that and used up a good portion of their budget. But they're running into this with all of their particular clients, prospects, because they don't have anybody to do copy or content. You know, they've kind of left that out of the mix. So I'm thinking how I could potentially work with them, or, you know, help them out with strategy. Again, I think we're talking about execution problems too. They're looking for hands too, you know, so.
Well, a messaging toolkit or a messaging strategy session that would then determine what the boots on the ground copy even is something I've sold a bunch. A lot of companies, they don't even know what their core messaging is, but I know we're at time. Great being with you all today. Keep going, finish your offers, start putting them out into the world. You'll know that your offer is getting stronger if you've put it in front of 10 people and gotten some kind of meaningful feedback about it from 10 people. So again, you're just a scientist in a laboratory trying to figure out whether or not there's demand for this offer. And the only way to do that is to share it with people.
And real quick, we're off next week. Okay. So next week is a catch-up week. I encourage everyone to just take stock of where they are. If you need to catch up, if you need to sit with this and let it marinate for a little bit longer, that's why we built that in. So take advantage of that, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Take care, everybody.
See you soon. Bye.
Take care.